Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Every senator ought to be told, go back to Washington and get the job done, pass a year-long bill, get stability, and let's move on to something new. But we look embarrassingly incompetent as a country. This is about as stupid a way to run a country. I mean, it's embarrassing. This is worthy of the Italian Parliament.
The D.C. gridlock of winter 2011 is beginning to look a lot like gridlock 1995. As you can hear, Newt Gingrich, familiar with that, isn't mincing words. It was Speaker Gingrich, 1995, who played chicken with a first-term Democratic president. And candidate Gingrich, 2011, as you just heard, is still taking a Democratic president to task, blaming the Obama administration and House Democrats for the holdup over the payroll tax extension. But not all Republicans are so sure they'll come out on top. The Wall Street editorial board, of all places, laid into the House Republicans for holding up the bill. So let's check in on a GOP divided, a Democratic president trying to hold his ground. And, oh, yeah, millions of Americans who may not get their unemployment and tax relief if this doesn't get solved. Rosalind Helderman has been covering the Hill for The Washington Post. Rosalind, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me.
Are you starting to hear more and more comparisons to 1995? It was that showdown, after all, that many felt gave Clinton the boost over the Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, to get reelected the next fall.
Yeah, it is funny. The parallels are really striking and maybe reinforced by the fact that Gingrich has been, you know, back in the news lately. But, you know, you have the exact same situation of a first-term Democratic president about to go into his reelection year, facing down a new Republican House majority at the Christmas season. For anyone who remembers those times, it's really a striking similarity.
The White House started a Twitter campaign today, hashtag $40, asking people to tell their story of what $40 means to them, because that's the average amount that would be lost per paycheck, per weekly paycheck, if this bill doesn't get passed. What's the goal of that hashtag campaign?
Well, it's public pressure, obviously. I think the White House has also learned the lessons of the Gingrich experience. That time what happened was with Washington shut down for the holidays, the president basically, President Clinton then, basically had the bully pulpit to himself. And I think President Obama is trying to do much the same thing. He's going to be having a little show event at the White House this afternoon with some Americans, ordinary people, to talk about what this tax cut would mean for them. He's definitely trying to seize his moment here while most of the House and the Senate are not in town to make the point as strong as he can.
Could have probably done a better job if he took the average annual payroll tax cut. If the average income is $50,000, that's $1,000 of payroll tax. Maybe it should have been, you know, hashtag $1,000, which sounds a lot more than $40, but that's their problem. What about the Wall Street Journal editorial yesterday? Did you ever think you'd read this, quote, given how Mitch McConnell and House Speaker John Boehner have handled the payroll tax debate, we wonder if they might end up reelecting the president before the 2012 campaign even begins in earnest. Pretty strong stuff for that conservative editorial page.
Well, extremely strong stuff, and they haven't exactly been the only voices from the right, which is really serving to somewhat isolate the House Republicans on this. You have a growing number of Senate Republicans. You have to remember that the two-month deal that the House rejected earlier this week was adopted on a very strong bipartisan majority in the Senate, so you got a lot of Senate Republicans who had voted for that idea. You've got an increasing number of them, Senator John McCain coming out saying this whole thing is harming the Republican brand, Senator Bob Corker from Tennessee saying that Republicans are getting killed in public opinion and the House just needs to take the deal. So it's not just the Wall Street Journal.
And they probably wish Newt Gingrich wouldn't be so loudly on their own side.
Yes, that's right. I mean, Newt Gingrich has been something of an ally to the speaker here, although I think that the presidential candidates up on the Republican side are trying not to get too much into the back and forth, because there is something of a divide here between Senate Republicans and House Republicans, and they don't really want to be in the middle of that.
Right, and that's kind of what this is about. And when you talk about Speaker Boehner, how did he lose his caucus? Because isn't this another example of Boehner and the president, or Boehner and the Senate Majority Leader actually had a deal on this 2-month extension of the payroll tax cut and unemployment benefits, just a little Band-Aid, and then they would come back and argue with the Democrats again, right after the holiday break. And even this little 2-month Band-Aid fell apart. But didn't Boehner think he had that deal, but then the conservatives in his caucus rebelled against him?
Well, so there's some significant dispute about exactly the sequence of events that happened last week. What we do know is that Senator Mitch McConnell, the lead Republican in the Senate, he certainly believed that this deal was going to pass the House. He's a very savvy, smart politician, and he was photographed high-fiving other Republicans when they got this 2-month deal
and
on Friday night.
Let's remember that 89 senators voted for this, so that's as close to unanimous as you get these days.
Including 39 Republicans.
Right.
He got all his guys to vote for this, and he certainly would not have done that if he did not believe that this was going to pass the House. Now, what precisely was said behind closed doors between Boehner and McConnell is an issue of some dispute, whether Boehner indicated it would pass or that he would push for it to pass and then backed off in the wake of the conservative rebellion that you're referring to, or whether there was essentially a miscommunication. That isn't entirely clear. What we do know is that right after the Senate passed this thing on Saturday, they all shook hands. They said Merry Christmas to each other. They ran off to the airport to go home until after New Year's, and then the House Republicans had a conference call Saturday afternoon, and House members, these conservative folks, many of them new Tea Party members elected in November, were furious over the idea of a 2-month deal. They think that that's terrible for the economy. They think it's the kind of quick fix that Washington always does, and they told the Speaker no way, no how.
Why are the House Republicans coming out looking not so great on this, wanting a longer agreement? And their bill would include a lower payroll tax. Aren't Americans sick of these stopgap measures anyway?
Well, and I think they may well be. And, I don't think anyone really likes the 2-month deal. So in one sense, House Republicans are echoing what a lot of people say, frankly, on both sides of the aisle. It's worth remembering that it was the Democrats, really, President Obama, who all along had been pushing for 1 year. The issue is that the disarray on the Republican side, they're so lacking in unity on this, has really hurt them. You got this bill that will, at the very least, prevent taxes from going up in January. Wasn't the Republican Party supposed to be the party of lower taxes? So you got this bill on the table that was voted on by so many Senate Republicans, and the House Republicans are saying no. So it's not exactly – a lot of people think they're right about the 2-month deal, but the Senate Republicans at least thought it was one way to avoid a tax increase and come back in January and we'll fight about it all over again then.
And conversely, why is President Obama coming out favorably in public opinion on these negotiations? Remember, during the debt ceiling showdown in the summer, both he and Congress saw their approval ratings plummet. But over the past 2 weeks, polling has shown Obama's favorability has risen in comparison to the House and Senate.
Well, that's a little hard to know. I mean, I guess people think he looks strong on this. He looks resolute. Again, the fact that the Senate deal was so bipartisan lets him say that there is a bipartisan deal on the table and that the House is rejecting it. It makes them look more obstructionist. I think it's the lesson that Republicans have learned well over the years, which is that it usually does not hurt in politics to appear to be the one on the side of lower taxes.
What exactly is on the table other than the 2-month versus a year question? Is there any
right.
substance of the bill that's also at issue?
Absolutely. This is one of the things you hear people say, it's just about 2 months versus 1 year. That is not true. The Senate got to the 2-month deal because there had been a big discussion between Senate Republicans and Democrats over how to pay for doing it for a full year. This is a tax that funds Social Security, and the agreement was that they were going to cut other things to reimburse Social Security for the reduced income coming into it by cutting the tax for a year. And they couldn't come to an agreement over 1 year. Republicans have proposed higher premiums, Medicare premiums on upper income seniors. Democrats say, no, we're not going to go to Medicare for this. Democrats have said, let's impose a new surtax on people making more than $1 million a year. Republicans have said, no, we're not going to raise one tax so we can lower another. And they couldn't come to an agreement on that. And that's how they ended up with a 2-month deal to start with.
So what do you think is going to happen here, Rosalind? The House is trying to get the Senate to come back and reopen the bill so they can have a conference committee and come to whatever agreement they come to. The Senate is trying to get the House to come back and just vote the Senate bill in for the two-month version. And, you know, they're all scattered to the winds for Christmas already. So what's going to happen?
You know, it's a little hard to know. There are increasing predictions that the House Republicans, facing all this criticism from their own side, are going to have to cave on this. I'll tell you, I'm sitting at the U.S. Capitol as we speak. I just left a press conference with the Speaker, and they showed no signs of caving. They reiterated their point. They said that the country can do better than a two-month deal, and they want the president to negotiate with them. There's increasing talk that what might happen here is they might kind of continue to fight this out over the Christmas weekend, give it a few days, and then come back next week and look for some face-saving way out of this.
Well, at 12:15 this afternoon, the president will make that statement on this whole mess that Rosalind mentioned. And listeners, if you want to watch that live, we'll be streaming live video on our politics website. It's a freecountry.org with President Obama at 12:15 this afternoon. Meanwhile, another embarrassment for democracy in Washington, and Rosalind Helderman covering the Hill for The Washington Post. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Henry Louis Gates meets James Brown, Don Cornelius, and Alex Haley. Stay tuned.